Okay, so we're in our series of classes on Gilgalim. We have been talking about the sources of Gilgalim in Tanakh, in Torah, where we find Gilgalim mentioned. So just a couple of more mentions before we move on to different matters. Next mention we see, or one of the mentions we see that relate to Gilgalim is in Devarim, when we're talking about Am Yisrael standing at Mount Sinai, Mount Sinai, what does Hashem say over there? Not the English translation anyways. Neither with you alone do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him who stands here with us today before Hashem our God, and also with him that is not here with us today. Right? The oath that is made at Sinai, that Am Yisrael took, was made with those of you who are here today and those of you who are not here today. What does that mean? So one of the perushim, one of the explanations is, means even those in future generations who are not standing here today, who really are standing here today, the 600,000 roots, soul roots that we mentioned about, the 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah, right? The 600,000 roots, neshamot, that make up Adam HaRishon. So they were all standing at Har Sinai. And all those future Gilgalim also are obligated as well, because we were also there. We don't remember it, but we were there too. That's why the passage comes to tell us that. Yofi. Next, just a brief mention of a Kabbalistic source that's not the Ari. Before the Ari, such a thing existed. The Kabbalah before the Ari, right, the Zohar, and who, perhaps one of the major first exponents of Kabbalah was called the Bahir. Who was the Bahir? Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakaneh, the first century of the Common Era, right? One of the most ancient of all the Kabbalistic texts is called the Bahir. Anyway, in there, as you would expect, it discusses stuff like Gilgalim. He says over there, you just bring a short quote from part of that. The Bahir says, why is there a righteous person who has good and a righteous person who has evil? Right, the famous question of why do good things happen to bad people? Why do good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? Right, the question that Moshe apparently asked on Hashem, and that couldn't be answered, and Hashem eventually gave him the answer, I will be gracious to who I'm gracious, right? It's like beyond you, it's my, Chazal say that Hashem says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? You can't understand, Am Yisrael cannot understand everything about Hashem. Rav Nachman says specifically, that's a really good thing, because if you could, then you'd be on the same level. And who wants to have a God that you're on the same level as your God? Right? So it's good that you don't understand everything. So the Pshat answer is, why do bad things happen to good people? So the Pshat is, Hashem knows, you don't need to worry, your thoughts aren't his thoughts. End of story. You can't understand it, you can never understand it. However, on a different level, we can. On a different level, the Bahir says, and many other commentators since that also say, that you can understand it. The answer is Gilgalim. In this lifetime, you might be a complete tzaddik, and stuff, not nice things are happening to him. Why? Because he was previously wicked, and now he needs to rectify those previous sins. Right? Just like we see when we spoke about yesterday with the 10 martyrs, Rabbi Akiva, and the 10 Gedolim. Right, Rabbi Akiva didn't deserve to be killed in the way he was killed. But because he was the Gilgal of one of the 10 brothers who needed that rectification, so now we have a reason. But if you didn't know that, you'd look at Rabbi Akiva and say, he's such a good man, why does he have to die in such a horrible way? But now we've got the explanation of Gilgalim. So we have an explanation, one explanation for why bad things happen to good people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was very happy about it. He was very happy about it. So there were two, both are possible. You can have with the exists Sadiqim who suffer, and for them it's not suffering, they're very happy. Right, the story of Nachum Ish Ben Gamzu, Gamzu Latova, everything was Gamzu Latova, and students say to him, "How, Rebbe, how can you say Gamzu Latova?" And he's like, "What are you talking about? Of course, how can you say the bracha on that I have everything that I need?" And they said, he says, "What are you talking about? I do, it's obvious." Right? Gamzu Latova, he was. And we know what happened to him. He lost his limbs and he lost
his arms
and his legs, and the ants were crawling up the bed and eating him. And he was all still saying Gamzu Latova. So we have examples of Sadiqim who mamash don't feel the suffering, and for them they're okay with it. And everybody else looking at them says, "How can such a terrible thing happen to a good person?" And the Sadiq is saying, "What terrible thing? I don't see anything terrible here. You might see something terrible, but for me, I'm okay with it. Don't worry, don't get upset on my behalf." Right, and the other person, no, it's this injustice, and the guy's like, "God, leave me alone, I'm fine, right? Don't you worry about me, but I'm your top, and then that's my issue I need to deal with." But there are also people who, like Eov, who were righteous and suffered, and they complained and said, "Why am I suffering? I'm a good person." So we see both are possible. Both are possible. Okay. Next, okay, so the last one in this section of sources that mention Gilgulim or that refer to Gilgulim is the Ramchal.
Rabbi Akiva.
Oh, he was? The Ramchal is a Gilgulim Rabbi Akiva?
40 years before he was not religious, Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
To start, so he had to come back.
Yeah.
For these 40 years.
And that's Ramchal.
So he died in 40. Psh.
There we go. This is
so there
we have. That's why we brought them together, right? The Ramchal, who Reuven explains, was a Gilgul of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva had 40 years where he was an Amaret, and not only was an Amaret, he said, "Give me a Torah scholar and I'll bite him like a bite of a donkey." Much better?
Yeah.
Right? He was not just like apathetic, he was mamash. Anti.
When donkey bites, it breaks bones.
Right?
That's right.
Right? He was anti. Didn't like them at all. Right? So his neshama in heaven is a little bit upset that I wasted the first 40 years and that 40 years. And I'd like to rectify that for you, Hashem said, "Top. We can sort that out for you." Along comes the Ramchal. What does Ramchal say? So Ramchal's two major works that people know about anyway are Mesilat Yesharim and Derech Hashem. Right? Two works of Musa. So anyway, in Derech Hashem, he says, Ramchal in Hebrew, Reish Mem Chet Lamed.
Moshe Chaim Lutzato.
Moshe Chaim Lutzato. I found out, only from reading this book, by the way, why the Ari is called the Ari. It always puzzled me, right? Why is the Arizal, right? Rav Yitzchak Luria. He's got lots of different names, right? Why is he called the Ari? So I just assumed, Tom Ari, he was like a lion, who was just like really, right? That was just the nickname they gave him. And then they called him the Arizal, the Zal. For the Arizal, for those who don't know, Zal means Zecher Levracha, that he should be remembered for the good. Arizal, that wasn't his name. His mum didn't call him Arizal. Didn't call him Ari either. Wasn't his name. His name was Yitzhak. So why do you call it? So how do you get to Ari? So the R and the Y and I is Rabbi Yitzhak. So the Aleph, so there's two options that I've seen. One is, I can't remember one now. One is Eloki, the godly Rabbi Yitzhak. And the other one, can remember, was the other one. was the A. So that's the one explanation is Eloki, but there was another explanation that I actually like better. I seem to remember, and I can't remember what it was now. Let's see if I can see it. Maybe can't find it. Okay, never mind.
The number one.
Anyway, so that's the Ari. If it comes to me, I'll no. Yes. Yes.
You can only down teach guitar.
Nachon, that's why you said to find guitar.
You can only teach
Rabbi
Natan.
Nachon.
You can only teach.
Right. So I didn't find it. If we come across it, I'll. If I remember it, I'll. There's another explanation for what the A stands for in Ari.
Number one,
Rabbi Yitzhak. Ah, no, the A stands for Ashkenazi. Ashkenazi Rabbi Yitzhak. Ashkenazi Rabbi Yitzhak, because his father was. That was his surname, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria Ashkenazi. So it was Ashkenazi Rabbi Yitzhak, is the Ari. So there you get to the Ari's out. So it's always good to know. The other famous one that no one knows his name is Rashi. What's Rashi called? Rashi. Why is Rashi called Rashi?
Rabbi
Shlomo Yitzhaki. His father's Yitzhak. His name was Shlomo Rashi. Rabbi Shlomo, and then his name of his father is Yitzhaki. Rashi. So, anyway, other exciting things. So what does it say in Derech Hashem? The Ramchal says the following thing. I'll just read it. He brings a section here. I'll read it to you. There's another important principle regarding God's providence. God arranged matters so that man's chances of achieving ultimate salvation should be maximized. A single soul can be reincarnated a number of times in different bodies, and in this manner, it can rectify the damage done in previous incarnations. Similarly, it can also achieve perfection that was not attained in its previous incarnation. Right, so you've got two sides. One is to rectify things that you did wrong, and the other is to achieve a higher perfection, to do better, to go to a higher level. Not necessarily you did anything wrong, but you didn't achieve what you could have achieved. The soul is then ultimately judged at the end of all of these incarnations. Its judgment will depend on everything that took place in each one of its incarnations, as well as the status, that took place by the end, and then as well as the status in each one. So we're judged on each one, and at the end. The final day of judgment is like the final day of judgment. There's a big day of judgment. There's a small day of judgment, which is when a person goes upstairs after 120. That's also a day of judgment. That's a big court case and what you did and how you get. But then the day of judgment, the big one, is when all the souls stop rectifying. I don't know at what point that is in terms of Mashiach, end of days, 6,000 years. At some point, there's the big day of judgment where there's a final reckoning of all the... takes place.
There's also a partial Gilgul. It's called an Igul.
We're going to get to that now. Okay.
So in one lifetime, you're constantly looking at women, the Gilgul would probably have bad eyesight. In the next lifetime, somebody wouldn't have that problem, or at least minimize it.
No, probably the opposite. He needs to come and fix it. There's no point. It depends. You could say either way. Either as a rectification, I used my eyesight wrongly previously, so now my eyesight is going to be taken away from me because I didn't use it properly. Or you can say the other way, no, I used my eyesight wrongly in the last time, I now need to use my eyesight correctly in a good way to rectify it. So I actually need good eyesight to actually go back and change, rectify what I did wrongly in the last time.
I can give you an idea.
Yeah.
There is a woman in this generation, even in the hottest day of summer, wears sweater, turtleneck sweater, and up to here, and heavy socks, down, skirt on, totally covered. You see maybe her hands at her face, that's it.
Okay.
And even the hottest day of summer, I mean heavy cloth, not just something thin.
Okay.
Wool layers.
Okay.
And because she's a good woman who several generations ago, back in the days of Yitzhak Midbar and then into the Aves, when the common dress in the Midbar was like a sackcloth with a hole cut here and a holes cut there for arms to go through.
Okay.
And she would wear them with the holes too big. And whenever she moved, things were seen that shouldn't have been seen.
Okay. So there we have.
Pretty cool to come back to somebody who is so covered up. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Okay, so...
Because the question I have is because I have really bad eyesight.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you don't... The truth is you don't know what your previous Gilgul was, right? The Arizal, if he was still with us, you could go to him and he could tell you. And there may still be people in this generation that have something like that ability to. But the question is whether or not you need to know. Right?
Sometimes it's better not to know.
The truth is Hashem is going to give each of us the opportunity to fix what we need to fix. Right? Because Hashem doesn't lo babatruna. It doesn't come with claims against his nation. Meaning he doesn't give you no chance to deal with what you need to deal with. He gives you every chance and every leniency, every possibility to deal with what you need to deal with. It segs nicely into what I was about to say next, which is that the Slonim Rebbe in the Tivat Shalom says, how can a person truly know what his purpose of rectification is? What's my job in this? Exactly your question. How do I know if I don't know what my Gilgul was? So he answers, the one way that we might know is to pay attention to those things that we find particularly difficult and challenging. And those are the things that we actually need to fix, because those are the things that we find so hard. If it's really easy for you to be a Baal Koreh, and you just open a Sefer Torah and it's all just singing in front of you, and you spend your life singing, top! You had an enjoyable time, but you didn't really work on yourself. It was like fun, party, it was great. Ah, but if it's really difficult for me to guard my eyes, and that's just killing me, it's just killing me, to like not look, you're free. Then according to Slonim Rebbe, that's what I'm here for. Right? You're not going to be here for 120 years to fix something that's chick-chack, that's easy. Doesn't make sense. Rather, why do I have to come all the way down here to do something that's really hard? And I'm going to have to take 120 years of prayer and effort and whatever and ever, because that's the tikkun, because that's what I need to work on. So it's much more likely that that's what we're here to fix. And we know, it's certainly in this generation, we listen to our rabbis who tell us what we're here to do. Right? And that's, as men, that's probably it's our biggest, most of us, our biggest challenge.
Let's say, doesn't have problems with the eyes.
Yeah.
So now, but he's a Baal Shuvah, let's say, at 60, or 70.
Uh-huh.
So he have only a short time to fix this?
If he didn't work on it. He didn't work on it until then?
No, because it was about Shabbat.
Okay. So Tom, look, so...
Hashem give him...
So, we learn from the Gemara stories of people who achieved Olam Haba in a sha'ah, an hour or a minute or moment, depending on how you want to learn it, right? But it's possible to achieve Olam Haba in one moment, right? Rav Ben Dodaya put his head between his legs and cried and his soul went out and they said, Rabbi Dodaya has been accepted into Shemayim, right? And the Gemara says over there, these are people who got their world to come in 1 minute. So it's possible, everything's possible. Just a lot harder if you're going to wait till the last day. You can make teshuvah on the last day, right? Chazal say make teshuvah on the last day of your life. You just never know which one that last day is, so you should start now. Right? But you can make teshuvah on the last day, it's possible. It's just very hard, because after 60, 70 years of doing nothing, it's very, very hard. To accept that your whole life has just been a bit, and to admit and to find that's quite tough. That's quite tough to do it. So here we have the concept of what's a person's job to work on that thing which is hardest to them. Right, we see that in See that in the Torah, right? That Avraham Avinu, whose essence was chesed, what did he have to do? His tasks, mainly, his tests, were the opposite. He had to throw his son Yishmael out of the house. He had to try and kill his other son Yitzhak, right? That go directly against his own nature. Yaakov, who was the man of truth, spent his whole time lying to everyone. To lie to his father to steal the birthright. He had to run away from Laban and not tell him he was going. He had to cheat Laban. And he had to do everything against his nature. He was the man of truth, Yaakov Yishemet, right? So there's an understanding that actually we have to go against our natures. To do those things are most difficult for us. And that's our tikkun. To do the things which find easy is not, right? For Abraham to serve his guests some nice food, that wasn't considered to be one of his tests. I mean, he got a lot of merit, but it wasn't like, that wasn't a test for him. That was his nature. He was a giver. He just wanted to do that. He loved everyone. Right? But what was the test? To go against that completely to the other way and be mamash din. Same with you, right? So the things that we find difficult to do, the most difficult things, that's where our tikkun lies. If you find Gemara really hard, it's your tikkun. Right? Get stuck in, guys. Get stuck in.
Is it true that certain animals know they're good and not like a
right? A certain who?
Animals know.
Animals.
Like a dog, I think I heard that one.
He describes in here, in the, I'm not sure in the name of who, I can remember who he says in the name of, that when we come back into Gilgal, we don't know our previous Gilgal. There's ways of finding out, but we don't know. But when you come back in a Gilgal of an animal, or even in an inanimate object, a stone, it's also possible, things like that, that you do know. Why? Because that's your tikkun. Your tikkun is to know who you are, and to have to realize that who you are now. I'm a stone, right? And to suffer. That's the way of expiating the sin. That's the way of top.
So
La Aleinu.
When you're seeing a cat do Nagelwasser.
Yeah. So your cat knows how to do Nagelwasser, and it has the merit to be born into your family. Obviously wasn't that bad, right? It has the merit to have 16 meals a day. Obviously it was borderline. You can either come back as a cat in the house of Rabbi Yaakov, or you can choose the house of Rabbi Yaakov.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, so let's stop there. We've got 5 minutes for the round.